This is a National Museum of Australia recording. For more information, visit nma.gov.au/audio.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, colleagues and friends, and I think I can truly say we're all friends here today because, as some of the museum's folk have been saying, any friend of Mike's is a friend of ours. My name's Peter Stanley, and I have the great good fortune to head the research centre that Mike inspired the museum to set up in 2007. So, good morning, and allow me to offer my welcome to this gathering, The Complete Archaeologist, a tribute to the career and achievements of Dr. Mike Smith AM, as he has been since Australia Day. So, congratulations, Mike. So. And that won't be the first round of applause in today's sessions. This is, we think, a unique conference. Not Mike's idea, but Mike's inspiration, in that it will place Mike's achievements in the context of the development of that extraordinary field, Australian Desert Archaeology. Now, this is not, as Mike has suggested I say, a traditional festschrift. Neither is it a valedictory, nor a farewell, nor a launch of his book, because sadly, advanced copies haven't arrived from New York. But there will be a book launch on the 22nd of March, which you'll be invited to. Rather, today is a chance to acknowledge who Mike is, what he has done, and more importantly, who he's done it with over the course of his career, and many of you are here today. A couple of prosaic announcements. First of all, could you please remember to turn off your mobile phones? The toilets are out of the theatre on the right, and coffee will be in the hall where you registered. As you see, we're almost at capacity, and we have a waiting list. So if you have a spare seat next to you, and someone walks in, don't leave them looking. You wave and invite them to sit next to you. Can I also remind you that we have, on the museum's website, we have a wall where people can post anecdotes and reflections and photographs in order to celebrate Mike's career and your involvement in it. So please go to the museum's website homepage and follow the links. Now, today's event is being run very efficiently by three people, and I'm not one of them. That's Anne Farris, Heidi Pritchard, and Alex Kidd. And if any of those people are in the hall, could you stand and wave? There's Anne. Come on, come out from there. And Alex is at the back there in white, and Heidi is the very efficient person who got you in here in the first place. If you have any problems, go to them. Now, I should also tell you that parts of today's program are being streamed live to an audience mostly of archaeologists at the University of Western Australia, and we'll greet them in due course. It's my privilege today to MC the proceedings, and my very great pleasure, as my first duty, to introduce Andrew Sayers, the director of the National Museum of Australia, who'll formally welcome you to the museum and offer some opening remarks. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you very much, Peter, and welcome everybody. I would like to begin by acknowledging the traditional owners of the country on which the National Museum stands, the Ngunnawal people, and pay my respects to their elders, past and present. Mike Smith and I have a couple of things in common. The first one is that we were both born in England and both arrived on ships in Australia at age six. He came in 1961 on the Sitmar Line boat, and I arrived in 1964 on a P&O boat. And I still remember vividly my arrival in Adelaide, although we were headed for Sydney, because it was actually the same moment that the Beatles were appearing on the balcony of the Adelaide Town Hall. So Mike has retained, I think, some of his English accent, but he hasn't retained an English passport. I guess I've retained some of my English accent and I haven't retained my English passport. We are both thorough Australianists through and through, and Mike has contributed enormously to our understanding of this country. Mike and I share an enjoyment of the company of camels, so beautifully depicted in Joe's portrait of Mike there. And we enjoy in common a love of the desert. my understanding of the desert can only be described as superficial. But Mike's, on the other hand, and this is where we diverge, is very deep and very profound. And it's today that I think we will have an opportunity to understand some of the profundity of Mike's understanding of the desert and what he's contributed to our understanding of the Australian desert. Last year, Mike gave me the typescript of his book, The Archaeology of Australian Deserts, as Peter mentioned, shortly to appear. And Mike, with his characteristic modesty, described it as a synthetic work. But I had it next to my bed for 3 months as I worked my way through it, and it is an extraordinarily impressive volume. And it isn't simply a synthetic work. It sets into context Mike's contributions through his own fieldwork and sets it in an extraordinarily broad and exciting story. It's a great book, and it really is a fantastic contribution to the understanding of desert archaeology in Australia. And I feel privileged to have been able to read it in draft. Today, I think, is the sort of occasion which is the National Museum at its best, where we have an opportunity to really, really engage with an understanding of Australia in a very deep way. A couple of years ago, we paid tribute to the work of Bob Edwards in this very theatre for his 80th birthday. And that was a great day, and interestingly, many of the speakers at the tribute to Bob Edwards are, in fact, speaking here today. And what was marvellous about that day, and I think what's marvellous about this day, is it really gives an opportunity for us over the course of a day to really understand the complexity and the multifaceted nature of careers and interests. It's fantastic that today is so multidisciplinary, so cross-cultural, poetry, art, mix beautifully with an investigation of archaeology and science. And I think that's what we can really achieve at the National Museum, is to open up subjects to the most multidisciplinary of scrutiny and really to do what we can to render discipline boundaries meaningless. Mike has been at the National Museum for many years and was the brains behind the Centre for Research here at the National Museum. And this afternoon we'll have an opportunity to hear from Mike's museum colleagues about his contribution to the National Museum. I just wanted to say today that from the point of view of the National Museum, I think Mike is an exemplary person to have working here at the museum. The character of a museum, any museum, is established by the enthusiasms, by the expertise, by the knowledge, and by the experience of the people who make up the museum. And Mike has all of those in abundance. And he's played a central role in maintaining, I think, the museum's intellectual rigour. There's a display case just outside of the theatre here that you would have seen as you came in. And looking at the objects in that display case, just a few of the objects that represent Mike's fieldwork, you get a real sense of the precision with which he approaches the subject, and which is essential to archaeology. But, of course, precision is poetry. And I think that Mike, in his meticulous approach, in the depth of his scrutiny, gives us all at the museum an exemplar of the way in which our picture of culture, our picture of the past, is broadly conceived, but is made up of many, many meticulously observed details. And it's that bringing together of the fine grain and the broad sense of the sweep of the past, deep time and culture, which Mike brings to the National Museum of Australia. So we are, I think, very, very lucky at the National Museum of Australia to have Mike here on our staff and to have had him contributing through the Centre of Research since its establishment. And it really does give me a great pleasure to welcome everybody here today. And I'm looking forward enormously to what I think is going to be a really tremendously rewarding day for Mike and for all of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. I'm British born as well, so you might think that the museum's run by an English mafia. And thank you, Andrew, for your support for this event and for the centre. I have several apologies to convey from people who were to participate but for various reasons are absent, and I want to acknowledge Douglas Malta from Haast Bluff, whom you will see on the screen later today, and Maria Isabel Hernandez Lolozas from Argentina. Now, to those who have made it here today, can I take the opportunity to point out that we have a very busy programme and we need to keep to time. So I'll be sitting just here in the front where Alex is sitting, and I will be glaring at speakers who go on for too long. But to be starting on a positive note and pick up a word that Andrew used, poetry, we would like to begin with poetry. One of Mike's desires for this event was to include creative artists as well as his fellow archaeologists and museologists. And as you'll see and hear, and indeed can see now, their involvement will impart a very special tone to today's tribute. And it will begin with the words of Mark O'Connor, a poet who has an association with Mike and deserts going back at least a decade. And you'll see Mark's words on the screen later today. So, friends, Mark O'Connor.
Thanks, Peter. It's a privilege to speak here. When Peter Stanley told me Mike Smith would like me to read one of my desert poems, he added that Mike would like it even better if I would write a new poem. I talked to Mike, who told me he thought no poet had yet captured the poetry that's hidden in the basic tradecraft of modern archaeology. He challenged me to try, offering ideas and feedback. And this poem is the result. As you will detect, it contains numerous concepts and phrases for which I'm indebted to Mike. Camp near the dig, mug in hand, out past the tarn of Orba, most unglacial of soaks. In that three quarters of Oz set aside for mystic poetry. It's country where you count trees to a square kilometre and trees count the water, a world of spinifex pixels. Baldwin Spencer saw a people stranded in time, primitive but not primordial, modern humans who weren't. Tyndall's deep bed at Devon Downs had no dates, but Mike, from old fires and toe bones, helped make a story with dates and, where possible, names, traced it all forward to where deep time meets memory, slides into history, motives become known, phonemes are guessed. And walking the land between rains, like a clock slowing down through its hushed sand places, where even to walk seems an act of reverence, part of that endless fitting of bare feet to country. He knew this high tropical plain, the height of a cloud above the coast. And meeting the ancestors, that slow, gentle shock as you enter a cave, praising yourself to have found its refuge. That first sense, half chill on your spine, at how the dark splotches run together, till the faint reddish stain might just be a euro, could not be an accident. And sudden, as if you'd been served with a summons, the stenciled hands remind that this cave which you found is not yours and not found by you. The cave wall says, I own, not I relinquish, and art is its sacred charter. Mike found, or refound, a cave's deep rock cap against the sun. In this land, on the edge of the monsoon rains, reptile and rock crevice country, and sand, iron country, oxidized red by one vast bath of sun and air, land where the spinifex thrusts its needled, delusive hay to clog radiators, burn cars. A Devonian sand dune, cross-bedded from the age of fishes, had conceived this hollow, Puritjara's overhang. Archaeology, says Mike, is not one-day cricket, but a decades-long test. Quick conceptions, then a long, slow fostering, like rearing and training a wicked child. A few weeks' romance and dig, then the long monogamy of writing up. Layers fade as you rapidly read them before rodents or floods get in. It's a corpse you dissect till it vanishes, each layer of tissue scraped off into sketches and words, while invertebrates move sand pixels down thin pipings, scrambling eras and dates like the ignorant mice that ate Homer. Rabbits blast through the layers utterly. So dissecting the site is surgery with washed, dusty hands, peeling back the skin, dissecting its rusted oxide anatomy, how the nerves connect, bones articulate. And that first trench is a manhole inserted intuitively into time. Honest tradesmen of our science-based humanity who keep neat field books, well-listed and well-labelled finds, we hope that the past lies underground. A cave means where nature took stuff away. Why then should it redeposit to wrap and record later events like thick paper between the strata? Erosion somewhere or exfoliation must feed this fine dribble of deposit, else like a seismograph whose paper's jammed, the years of data overprint to a charcoal smudge, undateable. There are digs like the Grand Canyon's layers, more gap than sequence, with four-fifths of Earth's ages missing. Since hills don't collect information, they erode, losing even what was buried before. A hill is a black hole in time. But sand sheets, sometimes finished finely and whitely as art paper, or coarse and crenellated, more likely piled up in crannies, laid down in faces, like a carpet rucked, yet all can be written in. Mike reminds us, what washes into a cave swirls unevenly. Remember too that whatever was once dug out has been spread again, and look for artifacts eroding out on the drip line. A fireplace to keep sleepers warm is one night's history, and of thousands of nights superposed, what remains? Let us hope nature makes a steady deposit for millennia, in this case of sand. 100 years in a spit is large print history. 10,000 years in 4 millimetres is telephone book fine. But an eroding sight, like a blackboard ever erased, leaves a palimpsest of eraser scratches. 200 years of goanna, wallaby, fish and their ashes, scraped clean and reapplied. Reading that is like telling a school's history from what the blackboard showed on the last day. So the archaeologist's drive to make meaning meets the mythmakers on their home ground. So does the work end in a book-choked study, a time-travelling dream before dawn, coffee in hand, staffies snoring on your feet, that becomes a vision, a linking hypothesis that might take a century to prove. Or in something pragmatic, perhaps some draft for a minister, now it seems onside, about the First Peoples' claim to lands, for a constitution's preamble? Well, we will go on searching. Thank you.
The National Museum of Australia in Canberra explores what it means to be Australian through our permanent galleries, exhibitions, public programs, and the National Historical Collection. Find out more about the museum at nma.gov.au or download more audio programs from nma.gov.au/audio.